Welcome, listeners, to the final episode of the Feelin' Film Podcast. On April 6th, 2016, two best friends got together to chat about a little movie that no one else has had opinions on whatsoever, called Batman v Superman. Am I wrong?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Well, a passion was born. And now, 8 years and over 400 main episodes later, with countless other special episodes along the way, we convene one last time to reminisce and say goodbye. I am Aaron. He is Patrick. My friend, the end is here. And what a long, strange, but yet incredibly fulfilling journey it has been. How are you feeling about this?
It's bittersweet, for sure. When we were getting all these last tidbits together, I actually wondered, would we be able to record like 8 years to the day? And we couldn't, which is fine. I didn't want to try to do that. But we got close. We got like, 8 days removed from when we first dropped.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Completely accidental. Like, not a thought in our head of timing it this way.
Yeah. But it is bittersweet, man. I mean, this has been a part of my world in a way that I think I didn't think how impactful it would be, like how proud I would be of something because of how it started, why it started, and what it became. I mean, this is not like the Joe Rogan podcast by any means, but it's something that it was one of the first things that I remember as an adult being incredibly proud of to do something with and have some kind of output there that people could actually critique, that we would have like ups and downs and growth and all these different kind of ways in which we flexed the show. It was something that I have always felt so proud to say, yeah, I co-host a podcast on movies. Really? What is it? And of the, you know, maybe 50 to 60 people I've talked about it with, and like in IRL, like face to face, maybe 15 have listened, but the ones that have always had such great feedback. Like, this is really cool. This is a show that I could listen to on a regular basis. And I think I can take a lot of pride knowing that it both started and it finished in a way that we both wanted it to. It had its kind of different methodologies and things that went well, things that didn't go quite so well. But ultimately, I look at the body of work and I go, it's 400 episodes, and all 400 episodes I can be proud of. I can walk through any of them, and for the most part, give it maybe a 90% at the very least of like, yes, these were really, really good and I enjoyed recording them. I know there were times when we're like, oh, it's Sunday, we got to record this thing. And I only think that there were maybe a handful of episodes, like maybe I can count on one hand, movies that we just did not like that really got away from our brand. And I think that's what kind of pivoted us back to what we ultimately became and we're finishing off with. And that's why I think I'm really proud of what we have, because we never lost sight of what we wanted to get out of this. And even through the ups and downs, I think we nailed it. I think we did exactly what we wanted to. And I'm happy to say I can finish it like this.
Man, that's incredibly well said. I would agree with all of that. I also think it is bittersweet. As the day has gone closer, it's been interesting because the backstory, and we'll kind of start with this, and I'll at least give my part of why we're ending. I sort of recommended this, or I suggested that this be something that potentially we hang up, and I wanted to make sure you had buy-in on that, because it was not something I was at the time so dead set on that I would have pushed back if you really felt we wanted to continue. But through our history, I was pretty sure you would have been okay with it. And I had gotten to the point where I was burnt out on production and the mental responsibility of running a show for a long time. You mentioned it, you know, there are those times where Sundays it's like, oh man, we got to record. Now, the cool thing is that every single time we would get on the mics, like once we were face to face, it was fine. It was amazing. And I often would have this experience where I would actually spend some of the weekend almost like dreading it. I'd be like, and I guarantee it was worse for you because you had to go to movie theaters. I usually 90% of what we had seen, if not more, I had seen in the theater for a screening like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the week. Right. So my weekend time was free. You are trying to get out to a movie at lunchtime on a Friday or trying to work it into your schedule with your wife and your young son and all these responsibilities. And so sometimes, yeah, it's like, oh, I got to do this thing. And then, oh, I got to do notes. And then, oh man, like I just want my night to be over. It's Sunday night. Like I would like to just go to bed, or I would like to, in your case, maybe you wanted to like play some Uncharted before bed, but now you got a podcast. And we had those moments, but then every time we were here, it was always amazing, right? It was always worth it in the end. I would leave those conversations. I'd be like fulfilled and satisfied and ready, you know, filled up for the next week. So I like that about it. But yeah, the planning part of it really was burning me out. I wanted a more flexible schedule. My son has moved in with me. I have more time spending with him than I've ever had in my entire life. And I just kind of got to the point where I just didn't want to have schedules. Like I wanted my nights to be free. And because of the film critic side of this, I had three or four nights a week that were podcast dedicated. And it was a lot. It built up. And I just got to the point where, you know, we've often held to this statement from the Bible of there's a season for everything. And there's no shame in an 8-year period. That is a long time to commit to something. And so many people burn out on the podcast. They start within like, what, 3 episodes. So 8 years is not something to sniff at. But as we're both hitting our mid-40s, you've taken on a bunch of new responsibilities in the last couple of years with running from refereeing soccer on the side part-time to like running the whole dadgum program and, you know, booking the refs and creating new logos and making a store and selling merch on top of just like actually being a parent and going to games for your own kids. So, I mean, we just are in a different place. And I think the other thing for me, man, is that we have covered, and we'll go through something at the very end of this where I want to talk about maybe some misses that we wish we would have gotten to. But that list is pretty small for me. And I thought about it a lot, how we've covered so many, like the vast majority of our favorites on this show, that we're in a place now where we really are just 90% of it would be keeping up with, or 75% of it would be keeping up with whatever else is new. And I think you and I, in our souls, that's not our favorite part about movies.
Right.
And I faked it for a while, I will say. Like I not like knowingly faked it. I don't think I consciously was like, I'm gonna pretend to be somebody I'm not, but I had fun with being the new movie guy. But deep down, there were so many nights where it was like, man, I just want to watch Top Gun for the 18th time. Why do I have to watch? But I need to watch this 3-star movie that's debuting on Amazon Prime because I need to be able to have an opinion about it. When it's, I'm never going to, like, I don't even know what that movie is because who knows? It was terrible, right? But I would have rather watched Top Gun. And I'm looking forward to kind of going back to a life where I can just do that.
Yeah, I think I'm with you in a sense that When we started pivoting a little bit, so you took on the film critic stuff, and I'll give you some flashbulb memories of kind of how this looked from my world, from the little town in Arkansas that doesn't have a film critic society, that doesn't do screenings, that I was riding the coattails of this guy who shoots me a Voxer message, and I was in my kitchen. I remember I was in my kitchen just holding my cell phone in front of me, and I hear you just excited, like, dude, I'm an accredited film critic, and I get to go to all these screenings, and this is going to be awesome. And you know what was going through my head? Okay, does he even want to do this thing with me anymore? Like, I think this is kind of your world now, because I couldn't do that, right? I could not go and see all these movies, nor did I really have a desire to. Like, for every 10 movies you saw, we would cover one. And that may have been a good one. And again, I can count on one hand probably the movies that you and I both were like, you know, terrible, whatever. And we don't do that because our mantra was positive honesty. You know, being able to say, this is what we enjoyed about it, finding the silver lining, but not whitewashing it necessarily. And I knew that with the volume of movies that you were going to start watching, two things went through my head. One, I wish I had that life. And two, I'm glad I don't. Please don't make me watch any crap. You know, like that was what was happening. And I got a little freaked out because I was like, okay, this thing is serious now. Like, okay, am I just now the other guy on the other end of the mic? And I love that you never made me feel like I was now tagging along, even though, and I will say this, and I know you'll push back when I say this, but you were 90% of the workload because you did the editing, you did the posting, you did all that stuff. And I know that I contributed, and I'm grateful for all that I contributed to. I did what I meant to. I did what I was supposed to. And the things that I did contribute to, I enjoyed doing. And so I don't think that I never was part of this or that I was like, you know, I never felt small. But I had to recognize that when I talked about the show, especially in the last probably 2 or 3 years, I talked about it in a sense that that you were the one grinding because of the fact that you had a sense of purpose, because you had that critic behind you, where I was more of the casual moviegoer. So when I look at that, I think that's actually a good complementary type thing. It's a way, because there are actually now two distinct voices. There's the critic, the one that's coming off of and providing that kind of world, but there's also the guy that the other audience would listen to, of like, yeah, I'm just coming into this fresh and I didn't know about this, or that was kind of cool.
I also had to deal with people talking during my movie.
Oh my gosh.
Where I don't. Yeah.
The day that
I haven't gone to the movie theater, Patrick, but like once or twice since I quit at the end of February or at the end of January. And that is a big part of it. Now that I have realized what it's like to go in public, not at like private press screenings, I was like, man, the theater themselves may be better, but this experience sucks.
It really does. And it affects how you enjoy a movie. I think we had this conversation. Maybe it was either a Christopher Nolan movie that we watched, a new release, or it was, oh no, I think it was Blade Runner 2049. You'd gone to see it like in the middle of the day as part of a screening, but then you went back and saw it as part of just a regular theater experience, and you had a completely different take on it. That matters. And I remember just walking through this and going, okay, I want to make sure that we enjoy what we're talking about. And I want to get to a place where we don't have to just cover new movies. We're not just covering old movies, but we find that blend. And so for me, my journey to kind of sunset the thing wasn't really an idea to sunset it, but the first moment of permission I gave myself was, I think, in this maybe the winter of 2021. So COVID happened and destroyed everybody's world. And it was at the end of the year. Go ahead.
I was going to say COVID was the first time we missed episodes. So
yes,
from 2016 till 2020, we had prided ourselves. I don't think we missed a week. I'm almost positive that we didn't. That every single vacation, we had maybe a couple, but we had like planned ahead, yeah, and we would release, we would have episodes in the can. Yes. But that was the first time we actually had a long conversation about, do we really want to take this risk of stopping cold for X amount of weeks,
yeah,
and taking a full break and risking losing whatever audience we've built up.
Right.
And then we coincided that with like canceling our Patreon too, which was crazy.
Right.
But go ahead.
But, so when that happened, I was going through kind of a little withdrawal period of social media. I was like, you know what? This is a lot. The last time I felt this way was 9/11, and I was like bombarded with news, and I wasn't even heavily involved with Twitter or Facebook necessarily. But I said, okay, I'm done. I need to just be off for a little bit. And that has since turned into a pretty, I mean, I've been off mainly Facebook, and I'll hang on Twitter because of other things that I do. But even that, I'm starting to rescale back on. And it was around January that I remember shooting you either a text or maybe sending you a message saying, listen, I really want to talk about maybe taking a pause for myself. And again, you were in the thick of film critic stuff. And I knew that we'd had Kaless on a few times, and I was like, okay, maybe this is a good opportunity for me to just step back. And so you gracefully gave me 3 months of just, I need to step back. I think I came back for one up like Mortal Kombat, I think, because we were all excited about seeing it. And so the three of us talked about it on the podcast. But man, that was such a great thing for me, coupled with disconnecting from social media, to really reassess where my world was, not just with the podcast. And I think a lot of people who say goodbye to projects like this, that's part of it. They're like, hey, we've got a lot of stuff happening now. We're getting really busy. For me, it was, I wasn't intentionally focused on anything. Again, I think we were talking about the Sunday nights were sometimes a struggle, but I felt that same way. Like when we got on the microphone, the energy went up, and there was a reason why I could probably play Uncharted or The Last of Us for like an hour and a half after 11:30 or when we finished, because I was so wired. I was like, yes. But I took that time off, came back, and I think that was about the time that we eased back into it, but we changed things up a bit, where we're like, okay, we're just not going to try to create sections like we have in the past, like the one word takeaways and the connecting points. And that was good for me, because it was just two guys talking and enjoying new releases, enjoying rewatches, enjoying thematic things. We just got sort of, we started getting back to our roots. And to me, that felt better. And so I would look forward to those Sunday nights, still with the busy schedule that I had, but it was less about a job. Like, I didn't feel like I had to watch X number of movies a year. I knew that I was giving up the opportunity to have that end of year discussion about actors and actresses and my favorite movies, because half of them were either rewatches or they were what we saw in the theaters. I just didn't get time to get through them. But that 3 months off gave me the permission to say, I'm not going to pursue that dream. I can't and don't want to go down that path. And those 3 months, and you gave me that permission to say, it's cool. You don't have to. That doesn't have to be a part of who we are, because the last thing you and I want to do is burn each other out or elevate expectations beyond what is reasonable. And so I was really, really grateful for that. But that kind of started the process of like, okay, if we end up sunsetting the show, I think I'll be okay, because I like where we're at.
Yeah, I definitely felt that from you. And that is what ultimately let me get to the point where I was like, okay, I want to let go of it all. And I feel like you'd be okay with supporting that. And so here we are. And that's why we're ending. That's what we're doing. We're going off in the sunset and doing our own things. But how did we begin? So this is sort of just a retrospective type of episode, just a conversation. I don't know if any of you listening really care. To be honest, it's more for Patrick and I than anything else. This is just for us as a remind us to have this conversation, and we just are recording it. Kind of like how we started, Patrick, to be honest, is when there were no expectations of listeners, because we didn't have any yet. Tell the story of how we started, if you want to take a stab at this.
I discovered Voxer through my friend Aaron White. And
was it me first? I don't even know where it came from.
You're the tech guy. You bring me into the world. That's true. Like I'm just now got my PS5, and I think the PS7's out now. I don't know, whatever. But we were in the history of our friendship, and I won't go into any of that because you and I already know about that, and I don't think anybody needs to hear that story. But if you do, holler at us on Twitter or whatever. As we went through our friendship, Voxer became one of the staple things where we could talk to each other extensively. If you don't know about the app, it's essentially a voice communication. You can text, you can send longer messages, and it has its crap moments sometimes. But for the most part, it became the way that we communicated long thoughts about different things. And you were telling me about, I don't know specifically what it was, but we started talking about the reimagined Battlestar Galactica. And you're like, dude, I'm starting the show. BSG, I've heard it's really good. And I was like, dude, that'd be fun. Let's start watching that together. And then what we ended up doing was we would commit to two episodes a week, and you would, or I would, watch the episode, and we would always put a text, BSG thoughts incoming. And then it would be like this 8-minute like monologue of like, I love this, I love this. And so it was one of our cues to the other person's cue to watch the episode and then provide your thoughts before listening to the other one. So that way it all kind of felt organic, like we were having a conversation. And then at one point, BVS was coming out. So you're a Batman guy, I'm a Superman guy. That will never change, for better, for worse. And we were like, this is great. We both love Man of Steel. And this is the first time that we get to see our superheroes on the big screen, basically just going toe-to-toe. And it was getting trashed, like absolutely trashed. You'd gone to see it in the theater, not press credential, by the way. You actually paid money and went to the theater to see this. And I kid you.
This was before all that.
Yeah, this was before that. And I remember getting a Vox from you. It was a text. And you said, just got out, Patrick. And it's a mess. But it's a glorious mess. And then you went on to this 10-minute, like we do with BSG, of telling me why you love it. And then I hadn't seen it yet. Like, you didn't go spoilerish it, but you're like, this is fantastic. And so I'd seen it. It got me amped up. I loved it. And we started talking. Hey, you know what? We're the voices of reason in this world. Like, why do people have to trash stuff that we love?
Yeah.
And so you had this idea, like, why don't we try a podcast? Like, why don't we try to figure this stuff out? And so you started doing the ground kind of groundwork or whatever. Our initial idea for the title of the show was called Critics Are Dumb.
Like, that was that's right.
In hindsight, probably a great Veland Film actually felt a little bit better.
It does.
Yeah, I think like Feeling Film was end up being the top notch. I think I'd come up with something like Emotion Picture or something like that. Like, that was kind of trying to be clever. But we had sort of come up with a title because of the fact that, man, we came out of the theater feeling something, feeling excited about this, the Snyderverse and everything that it could be. And we were forgiving of a lot of the stuff that, in my opinion, got fixed with the director's cut, honestly. It didn't make it perfect, but it made it better because Zack Snyder is going to be Zack Snyder. And the Zack Snyder cut is basically Lord of the Rings, like all three of them for one movie. And that's kind of how it was born. Is we hopped on the mic. We didn't know what we were going to talk about. We talked about what we decided we're going to have a section about what we're going to be critical of, but that was going to be like 20%. And then like the 80% was going to be like what we loved. We thought maybe three scenes. And I'll never forget, I don't think it was the first or second episode, maybe it was the first one, but I remember making notes and putting the little logo that we had in the top right corner. And you text me saying, I just printed out my notes and I feel so proud walking from the copy machine to my desk with these like printed notes. And I was like, I'm glad, because I love notes and official stuff. So we hopped on the mic. I got on my laptop. In fact, I almost got on my laptop tonight and just go right back to the crap type.
Okay, I'm glad we didn't go that far. We don't need to, like, have you really listened to the audio? Like, we're in a better place.
We are in a better place, yeah. Progression is good there. And then we recorded, we got done, you loaded it, and it was like, I think, midnight my time. And I remember you texting me saying, oh my gosh, it's there. It's loaded. And then you started pushing on Twitter, hey, listen to our show. We need to get 50, at least 50 to feel like we're getting. And that was the beginning where we were like, okay, we've got this one. What do we cover next? And that sort of spawned ideas for the types of movies that we would cover in the same universe of really giving movies the time they needed that weren't necessarily critically acclaimed, like giving the regular movies a chance. And it started out kind of funky, but I like the ones that we covered.
Yeah, me too. I remember vividly, like, I mean, I had a headset on that it was like something you would wear in an office setting, and it had like the drop down mic, and, you know, with the little arm that comes out, or like you'd wear if you were, you know, talking to somebody on an online game or something. And the audio just was not good. But I also remember very strongly, it was my suggestion. I was like, no, we need to be critical. Like, I want us to be fair. So I had this grand idea, the whole like it, didn't like section. Like, I was saying we needed to be specific. Like, we needed to have things we didn't. And obviously we've learned over the years, like, when you set these sort of parameters for yourself, eventually they're going to backfire and you're going to want to push back on them anyway. So maybe it's not a great idea to do that. But I would like find articles and I would put the links in, and then we would like read part of an article. We did this for BVS especially. And I was like, I want to like argue against this negative take or whatever it was. So it was very, you know, different at the time. And, you know, we had the top three scenes. I was big on lists. I've always been big on lists. I think we both are. And that's kind of what made us first think of that. And, you know, anytime you come up with an idea for a podcast or a creative project, a lot of times when you're starting, especially, it's difficult because you base it on the thing that you're thinking of at that time. And so at the moment, like, you know, oh, well, top three BVS scenes, that'd be an awesome thing to think about. You don't really necessarily think about that in context of every single movie you might cover for the next 8 years and whether or not that's really a section that you need to do, right? So you don't have that context yet. And so it was just really interesting to kind of get started. And I do remember that first night and pushing it out. And I will take some credit for that. I think there's a lot of people who start projects and don't know how to do the social media marketing side. And I was self-taught, but I was very driven. And I mean, hardcore driven and passionate about it. And I really, really worked hard to get us in front of ears that I thought would take to our style. And it served us well. It allowed us to gain a pretty quick, small base following, which allowed then the snowball of growth to really happen for us, where so many shows never even crack that level that we did because the people behind them may be amazing behind the mic. They may have awesome ideas and have wonderful conversations, but if you don't have someone that is able to get it out, it can be really tricky if you want people to listen to you, if that's important to you. And we were different. And I think we've stayed different on this all through the 8 years. It always has meant a ton to me. And it has meant a lot less to you. I wouldn't say none to you, but it has always meant way more to me. Like, I was validated and I felt more pride in that number going up than I think you did. You really had yourself sense of fulfillment, I feel like, came from, which is beautiful, just the conversation that we got to have together, whether anybody listened to it or not.
Yeah. And I think that I had fun exploring and discovering new things because of you. So just case in point, episode 2, we did a Midnight Special, and, you know, I think we had decided after Midnight Special to go weekly. Like, we had originally decided, okay, we'll go biweekly because I don't know what the schedule is going to be. Again, I had a family and I was like, is my wife going to let me stay up or allow me to, you know, take a day out of my week and do this, which she's been gracious to let me do this, obviously, or to be, you know, she's an early bedtime person, so it doesn't really affect that. But I've since added more evening stuff to my plate, and she has been very gracious to support this part of my world. But I remember going into Midnight Special with a notebook thinking, oh, I'm going to take notes. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen anymore. But it was because of your press credential status that I got access to movies that we could cover together. So when I got to dive into that a little bit on the non-Feel and Film side, what eventually became the FF Plus side, that was cool. But in addition to that, Feel and Film, if it were up to me, I would just cover things that I'd already seen, or I would just cover new releases, and I would have a certain shtick for one or both of those. I would lean more to the rewatches because I'm familiar with them. It's like a security blanket for me, and I continue to do that. Like, if we continued this podcast, I would say 3 out of the 4 weeks, let's get something at home. One, because I don't like going to the theater. Two, I know what we're getting into, and we always want to cover stuff that you and I are going to both enjoy, which is why the last 5 episodes have been predominantly 80s movies, you know, because I love 80s movies. I think they're great, but they're also sports movies and they're also martial arts movies in that sports movie genre. And then we finish off with a heist / treasure hunting movie. But I think through this experience, one of the things I've been so, so grateful for is not a big one, but a pretty decent expansion of appreciating movies that I would not normally see. And that comes from my relationship with you. So you and I, we've been best friends for a long time. You know the kind of stuff I like. You know the kind of stuff I gravitate towards. Had it not been for this podcast, I would not have any interest in anime whatsoever. Okay? So I'll just go on record and say that. That it's because of this that I had my own summer of anime and I experienced an appreciation for multiple directors. It's where I fell in love with Satoshi Kon, who is probably my favorite animator. Rest in peace, Satoshi, because of not only his style, but his type of writing. It's so bizarre and so completely like, yes, that's me. But you and I were Shinkai guys. Like, you're the Shinkai guy that you just brought me. It's like, you're going to be a Shinkai guy. Like, I'm going to bring you into this. But even like the Director Month, things that I'd never seen before. Like, I'll confess this. One of the three movies that we would have covered for episode 400 as part of our trilogy heist movies, I haven't seen yet, and I'm excited to see it. So Feel and Film gave me the opportunity to be able to really dive into blind spots of movies that I'd never seen. And I want to continue that. I mean, I'll say that just continuously, like, hey, you need to watch this. This is fun. Whether we discuss it or not, The Town, for example, is going to be a movie that I watch because I've known it was going to be on a list. I've seen it talked about in several places. So I love that we got this opportunity. I've gotten the opportunity to watch short films and things. Just again, under the critical banner, I've gotten access, and it's been good to be a supporting character in that, because I didn't have to deal with, okay, where's a screening? No, I'm going to get access through the podcast. I don't have to write up a review necessarily, but you and I can talk about it to satisfy your press credential thing. And so it's been great. I don't think I ever would expand my type of like theatrical culture had it not been for that. I certainly wouldn't have gotten to know some of the people that we've gotten to know through the podcast community as a result of this. And that's a whole other subject that I'm incredibly grateful for.
So before we get to some of that, I mean, I agree with everything there. And there's been so many things, so many elements that have happened within the podcast, so many changes and projects and things that we've tried, things that we've experienced. The main episode format changes has always been interesting to me. So I identified three main versions of the main show. And I think I'm right on this. So we had that first one that you talked about with the like, didn't like, top three scenes. Then we had a lengthy period of time where we came up with this idea called the connecting point. And we would just talk about the movie. Normally, just a conversation or whatever. However, whoever was doing notes would come up with the talking points. And then we would have a specific moment where we would each give what was our connecting point. And it could be a scene, it could be an idea, a piece of dialogue. And I thought that even more so than the show is now. So the third way is the way we kind of do it now, which is we did away with all sections whatsoever. And we were just like, hey, whoever's in charge writes down some questions they want to talk about and we'll just do that. And it is by far the most chill version of the show and the least effort that we have to put into it. Like, I don't have to justify that anymore to an audience. So that's the facts. Like, it doesn't require a ton of like deep thinking and planning for that. But the connecting point is probably my favorite thing we ever did, Patrick.
Me too.
Even though we did away with it, it is the most on-brand idea we came up with for a show called Feel and Film about our emotions. It allowed us to talk about the movies and be critical and view them through a little bit higher lens than maybe the average moviegoer would do, but then to come back for just a moment and say, but ... who cares what anything else happened? This is where the movie touched me. And this is the best part of that. And I will always reflect on that and how it has changed the way I watch most movies now going forward. Like, I often find myself just watching a movie for fun, for whatever reason, for critic purposes when I was still going. I will gravitate toward having a thought of like, this would be my connecting point. And I think that that is amazing. And I hope that people who listen to the show and experience those episodes, it would make me so happy if people out there had the same reaction, have taken that with them from us.
I don't disagree. And I do that too. Like anytime I'm watching a movie fully vested, I make it a point to put my phone down and let me back up. I'll start a movie and I'll go to IMDb and look at all the trivia first because that's just what I do. And then I'll put it down and I'll watch the movie. So 20 minutes later, I'm in. But I'll do that. I will get in there because it's, especially for the rewatches, I will enjoy the movie. And I'll know that like we joke sometimes about movies that we absolutely love, the trophy room movies, like everything's a connecting point. That's not true because there's always something that's going to change in each viewing, like, oh man, this hit me this time. And I love it because that's the magic of movies. You find something different to really enjoy. And some of that comes from conversations. Like I've listened to other podcasts that have inspired me to cue up movies I haven't seen in years to kind of pinpoint what they're talking about. And as a result, I'll go, oh yeah, but I remember this part too. I'm so looking forward to this. And it's kind of like connecting point adjacent because on those rewatches, those are the moments that really amplify. And our brand says it all. Every movie makes us feel something, either pissed off, mad, sad, excited. And it could be a moment. And I love that we didn't make it a scene. We made it a moment. It could have been someone saying one line. It could have been an entire monologue. It could have been a nonverbal scene with a ton of great cinematography. Like, and this is what,
or a theme,
yes,
that ran through the entire thread of the movie, yeah, a whole subplot idea. Yeah,
but I don't disagree that that is something that I feel like could be timeless because everybody gets that. Like everybody connects, and that's something that we wanted from our audience in a world that is full of podcasts. There are hundreds of thousands of podcasts, some of which are still going, some of which are dead, but they're all on the internet. Among that, you have the movie and, or just the movie section. How do you create your own voice in this? How do you slice out where you're not just another movie critic podcast? And that was something that we really wanted from our show, is to be different, to have something that people could tune in for and not just get a recap and a critical breakdown of the movie and talk about plot and character and theme. Those things are all connected to an emotional response. Because I remember when we were talking to Andrew B. Dice, one of the guests that we had on our show several times, to talk Marvel movies or DC movies, I would tell him, we would talk, and I would say, movies are not meant to be digested verbally. They're meant to be experienced, not just talked about. And that's the essence of what we were doing. That's what I think differentiated us from the others. And I remember early on when we started the Facebook group, that we were getting a little bit of pushback for some other podcasters because it was like we were accused of whitewashing everything. Like, not everything's great. I'm like, you're right. Yeah. It's not.
You guys like everything.
Yeah.
Well, no, we watch movies we like.
Exactly.
We gravitate towards those.
Why
would we?
And we found value in the creative process. There are movies out there that I think are made to be crap, and we don't cover those. But I feel like every movie that we've watched, we've given the respect that we feel like it deserves because the creative team behind it was trying something. They weren't just trying to make a buck necessarily. And even the movies that we didn't like, we found valid reasons not to like it. It wasn't just trashing them and saying, yeah, this is a dumpster fire. What we talked about was, for instance, the second Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. It's not a great movie, but I feel like we had valid reasons to be frustrated with it because of the success of Jurassic World and how we wanted it to be good. It's not like we were out to find bad movies and then just say, yep, let's just dump on this. I don't like talking about those. I didn't like talking about Suicide Squad, but we found something. I mean, there were moments. Unfortunately, there were moments that didn't make up for the rest of these movies, but that was okay. And I think that was part of our positive honesty, is we could say, we didn't like this and we don't really recommend it, but let me tell you, these parts right here, it was okay. It made the $15, or for you, the $0, go into the theater worth it. I was disappointed, so it did make me feel that. But I think that every movie is going to provide some kind of emotional response. And what better way than to discuss that in a way that says maybe other people get that? So I felt like it was an honest conversation. They've been honest conversations, and they felt they were different enough than just being critical podcasts that would separate us from the rest of the world in a way.
I completely agree wholeheartedly with that. And I think that the adjacent stuff that we've done too has been so rewarding, I would say. There's such a long list. I mean, there's obviously my film criticism career, whatever you want to call it. I joke and tell people I retired, but I really do believe that. I mean, I poured almost a 40-hour work week at times into my side hobby, and it, you know, paid out of pocket to go to every film festival I've ever attended. I wasn't making money. We didn't make money. You and I have poured hundreds of thousands of dollars over 8 years into the show to keep the website going, to go see movies on your side. For me, parking. I mean, all of press screenings, you don't get them. You get the movie for free, but you still got to pay for your parking. There's just a lot that goes into wanting to have something like this exist. And people in this day and age, everybody wants to make a buck. Everybody wants to monetize their thing. I can't tell you how many times friends, randoms on the internet have all come at me for years and asked me, why are we not trying to monetize? Why are we not doing this? Why aren't we doing this? When are you going to make money? You know? And I'm just like, no, the level you have to be at for that to really be viable and make any sense. Like, you and I made the decision pretty early on. We dabbled in it once or twice for like an episode or two, but very, very, very briefly. We made the decision that ads was not something we wanted to put into our podcast. That's what the world is these days. It's ad breaks. And that's how you make your money off of things. And we were like, no, we want a pure experience. We don't like listening to shows like that. So we just want people to have our show. And you know what? If we don't make any money off of it, so be it. Like, that was never what it was about for us. And so we had all these cool, rewarding extra things like that. It was never money related. We had a Patreon briefly. The goal of the Patreon was simply to make enough money to cover our podcast website hosting type fees, which we never really, I don't even think, quite made. Maybe we did for a year or so, a year or two, but the thing with Patreon is you got to give something to people. And so eventually it became more of a hassle to try and give people t-shirts and maintain these things or give people free movie tickets than was worth the effort to even do it.
Right.
But it was cool. It was neat to get that feeling of support from people. I will admit that always made me feel something special that I'd never had before. Where you mentioned it earlier on, you said something that people actually could critique and take respond to in your creative work in a way. And that was a response people would give us, is to, by supporting us with their money, it would blow me away every single time. Yeah. And I love the episodes we did for Patreon, even if ultimately it was frustrating to do really cool top five episodes. Like, we'd do a top five movie scores and like 10 people would listen. And I was like, this is annoying. I want everybody to hear this because it was a great conversation.
Yeah. I will say this about the bonus stuff is it was time consuming, but I think it peaked into the types of conversations that we eventually got to in the latter part of the podcast, which is just off the cuff, laugh a little bit, don't worry about your dog in the background, that kind of stuff. Like, it was very much, the pressure was off because we knew that extra content, you didn't want to edit that. You didn't want to have to produce anything. And I certainly didn't. So we get to these top fives. And man, I tell you, between that and when our friend Jeremy would do trivia with us, I mean, it was probably the most hysterically entertaining stuff we ever did because it wasn't scripted. We didn't have notes for it. Now, I will say this. To do a podcast, I think you have to have notes. You have to have at least an outline of, hey, these are the things I want to cover, or that we need to talk about. I know we ran into the pressure of the logistics of, you know, making sure that you didn't say ums too much, or that you didn't have a pet in the background, or that you hit your mute button. And look, I still deal with this on AOS. Like, I want to make sure, hey, don't breathe into the microphone, you know, go on mute so I don't have to edit you out later. Because there is a value in that. Like, you don't want to hear somebody talking like they're in a garage. You want to enjoy the listening experience. I've appreciated that, and I've taken that further in what AOS is doing. But what I loved about those bonus episodes was that they were us, you and I, just talking, because there was no agenda. There was just, all right, top five Tom Cruise moments, let's go. And we could disagree, and we could, and I think what you experienced is what you wanted to mainstream a little bit. Like, hey, I'd love to do more stuff like a movie draft. And the more you talked about it, the more I heard you were getting excited. And the less I was like, no, I can't, because it involves more movies of things I haven't seen.
Prep work, yeah.
Right? And I could go off the cuff of my favorite, you know, musical scores, because that's something I know. And even if I miss something, I could always go back and say, dude, I completely blew this one. But it was work for me. And if it, as much as I love the fact that we had people listening and giving us money, like, that was just crazy. Like, people are paying to listen to the show. What? Are you serious? Like, it's validating. I don't think anybody would ever say any different. But I found a lot more meaning in the other stuff that wasn't related to Patreon. And so that was a good exercise in saying, okay, yeah, we can let this go, because we can afford, with what we make, we can afford to keep the website running and do the minimal stuff and occasionally buy a t-shirt that's going to make us feel good. And, you know, we would occasionally get I love that we would occasionally, even like maybe as recently as 6 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, somebody did the $50.
The premium picks.
Yeah. I think we got maybe four.
It was
of them.
Pay us four. And we'll cover whatever movie you want.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. Like, that's a great cool. idea. And had we continued this or really pushed that, I think we would have probably gotten more of those. But again, affirming that people actually would drop a half a hundred to hear us talk about what? Taming of the Shrew or whatever it was. Whatever.
Not even a movie.
I mean, just, it could be anything.
I know. I don't even remember what it was either.
Much Ado About Nothing. That's what it was. Yeah. We had that. Oh, that was one right. of them. And the thing is you enjoy those because someone's inviting you into their world to hear you talk about a movie that they love. And that's really cool because it already adds a star to it. Like, they're definitely. I don't think anybody's going to punk us and be like, okay, we're going to pay $50 to watch The Room, you know? Like, they understood that we weren't, it wasn't like a joke. It was something like, hey, if you want to hear us talk about something, you know, we're not going to trash it. Even if we didn't love it, we're going to enjoy watching it at the very least because you recommended it and you're providing a monetary reason for us to see it, which to me is great.
Yeah, I agree. It was. I'd forgotten about those, and that's crazy. It's to this day, it's crazy to me that we threw it out there. The thing is, we hardly promoted all of our stuff. That was the other thing. Like, I promote the heck out of getting people to listen to the show, but things of like trying to get us money, I just never pushed those. We put it in the show notes. Who reads show notes? No one reads show notes anyway. So the fact that somebody even found that on the website as an option and then took advantage of it is really cool. Obviously, the Facebook group is a huge thing, even though you've left Facebook and you haven't been a part of it for a while. And it's gone through some ups and downs in the last couple of years, I would say. Political craziness in the world just permeates all of social media. And so it eventually permeated our Facebook group. We started off, this show was never called a Christian show. It was definitely a family-friendly show. We took great care to avoid giving ourselves that explicit E label in the podcast stores. We wanted people to be able to listen to this on a long road trip with their kids and hear our episodes, and it wouldn't be a problem because we had kids that we wanted to be able to listen to it as well. And, you know, the Facebook group experienced some tough times because we were Christian podcasters who had a presence in other social media groups with other podcasters that we listened to who also were Christians. And so I think a lot of those audience members kind of came over. And then when we found a more secular audience, these two groups meshed. And sometimes there's conflict for like political views and religious differences. And that has definitely caused some problems in the Facebook group at times, but it's still going strong to the point where I have largely been out of it and not active for a while now, but people reached out to me and wanted to keep it going. And I thought that was so cool. And I passed it on to our buddy, Rich Starnes. Thank you. Just if you're listening, we appreciate you. He was somebody I trusted and he actively wanted to take on the ownership of the group and the admin responsibilities to keep it going. And I said, you can change the name of this. It does not have to remain attached to the Feel and Film brand at all. And he was adamant, like he doesn't want to do that. He wants to keep it with the same vibe that it had always had. And that like touches me because regardless of what conversations happen there now, regardless of whatever has been at its best or even at its worst, I made relationships and friendships. You talked about Jeremy, the guy who did our trivia for us. If I was ever anywhere close to Nebraska, I guarantee you Jeremy would give me a place to stay at night. We would hang out. We would go out on the town. We'd watch a movie. We would get together. I've met many people off of the internet that associated with me because of this podcast. And it's been really cool. Our buddy from Texas, right? We were able to meet people there and travel to podcast with others. And so it's been a really fulfilling experience to create relationships from this project that will last beyond its existence.
I don't disagree. And that is probably one of the highlights for me over the last 8 years, specifically just the interaction. I missed the Facebook group and I missed everything that was, I missed the extension of what Feel and Film was in that Facebook group, in the fact that somebody would just throw a review out there and the response would be, didn't love it, but man, I'm glad you did. It's like it would never or rarely ever be, and I don't know what it is now, and I don't really want to get into any of that, but I knew early on it was a place where people could feel free to just give their opinions about something. I remember when you and I watched the new Turtle movie, like the live action Turtles. Early on, before we even started the podcast, I tried to watch, and I was like, these aren't my turtles. These guys, they're stupid. They look like trolls, And the critical brain kicked on. I was like, I'm not watching this. But as a result of the podcast, we decided to give it one of our second chances, right? Like one of these movies that was not like a second chance pick is what we called it. And so we actually, in light of the sequel coming out, we decided to give it a shot. And because of that mindset, we were able to really enjoy it, find a connecting point. I think it was that far into the podcast. I can't remember specifically. Watched that one, watched the second one, and I ended up buying both of them, really enjoying them. And we'll watch them with my son, who likes the Turtles as well. Like it's, you learn to appreciate what the art form is in even its, even in a more mediocre form. And I think that same thing is an extension in the Facebook group, that someone could say, man, I thought The Flash was really good. And this is why. Jeremy will tell you the non-Snyder cut Justice League, like the original theatrical release. He said it is one CGI mustache short of a 5-star of a perfect movie. And he will go to right. his grave saying that. And I'm like, dude, I love it. Completely disagree, but I love it because there's freedom to be able to say that without getting feeling like you're being criticized. That's what we felt like Feel and Film was giving people, was a voice to say, I like what I like, and I don't have to be ashamed of it. Like, we don't believe in guilty pleasure. You shouldn't feel guilty about things that you enjoy, especially when it comes
to movies.
Say
it again, 100%. Yes.
Should not feel guilty about the things you enjoy, which is why Amen. The entire, to this point, Fast and Furious franchise has been covered on Feel and Film. Even though our Fast and Furious pretty much ends at 7. We'll appreciate 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 18, you know, whatever it's going to go to. And the thing is, we like it, and we're not going to be apologetic, and we will laughingly debate people who don't like it, because at the end of the day, that person is not attacking us and we're not attacking them. It's simply about the subjectivity of movies. And that's what I think the Facebook group was kind of defined by, was that subjectivity, that it's okay to have a differing opinion, that you don't have to trash the person because you don't like what they don't like.
Right. Yeah. And I think one thing that came kind of tied with the Facebook group that was really cool that we did for several years, you mentioned the year in reviews already. That was a really fun episode when we would do those. And those are archived as well for folks who want to check them out, where we would go through the, not just, it wasn't just a top 20 list of our favorite movies, 1 through 20. It was a few of our favorite movies and a few of our favorite performances and a few of our favorite scenes and a few of our, like, what else did we like? What else? TV shows, video games, books. Like, that was pretty cool. And then we would talk about the movies we were excited about for the next year, and then they wouldn't come out. And so we'd talk about them again the next year, and then they still wouldn't come out. And so we would talk about them a third year in some cases. Those were always cool. But the thing that the Facebook group got to participate in, and they still do to this day, a couple things. One of them, they still have lists. So on our Letterboxd account for Feel and Film, which may or may not continue to exist, I haven't fully decided if I'm going to just shut down and delete all the social medias that Feel and Film has. Part of me doesn't want to have to deal with even knowing they're there. Part of me is like, maybe I should just let it exist. But there are Feel and Film Facebook group, like, aggregated rankings. And I think that's so cool. There's like a Rich also largely was a big part of this and responsible for it. He does every year a top 10, and then he does a countdown and he posts and people have voted on it. They'll share their top 10s. He, you know, parses out who's going to be the winners. He does a ranking for like I think Jeremy did a couple of them too back in the day, like a ranking of the MCU, and everybody would give their own rankings. Then he would aggregate it out. But part of the top 10 that Rich does now, that came because for several years, we did a thing called the Feelers Choice Awards. And I still, this is another thing, branding wise, man, you say maybe I did a lot of the work, but marketing and branding wise, you came up with the logo, which is amazing and is iconic. And I don't care what anybody says, it's behind me right now on that poster. That will be hanging there until I'm 90 years old and I go to the grave. Whenever it comes, like, that will be on my wall. Because it's amazing. It is, and I've seen so many podcasts, so many, and so many podcast names, and ours, I really will always stand behind as being special, both in look and name. And then the Feelers Choice Awards, just the name of that, first of all, I think is awesome. Like, go us. That is cool and on brand for what we want these awards to represent. And then you created this graphic. And it's a trophy. It's just a normal, like, almost cylindrical-esque, like, trophy stand with an emoji smiley on top of it. And it is the most, people may not know this if you're new, because we haven't done it in 3 or 4 years now, but we did it probably 3 years, maybe 4 years total. And we would, like, go out. I mean, it was a lot of work, but I would make sure people voted, and I would pull it into a Google spreadsheet, and I would do all the number crunching, and we would have these awards, and we had a couple unique categories. We had the emotion picture of the year, again, with the branding, go us, man. And then we had, I think, like, it was something about an emotional performance, the most touching performance or something like that was the other one.
Okay. I can't remember it, but maybe I can look it up while you talk.
Those were the two unique ones. Emotion picture of the year, like, emotional movie that touched you the most, and then performance that was, like, the most emotionally moving as well. And those were cool awards, and they often would differ from the movie that people would put number one in their top 10. I distinctly remember the year that the emotion picture of the year was the peanut butter.
Oh, peanut butter
five
Falcon.
Finger peanut. Yeah, that peanut butter Falcon. Right. And, like, that was the movie everybody was emotionally moved by, but it wasn't everybody's number one movie of the year. or number two or number three, right? There was a lot of like IP stuff. But we were able to kind of recognize that with a special award that nobody else in our peer groups of podcasts really had. And so, you know, that part that was made possible by the people in the Facebook group as well. And a really cool thing that we did for a while.
Yeah. So along with the emotion picture, there was poignant performance of the year.
That's what it was. I knew it had a cool name.
And this is
poignant performance. Man, this is beautiful. Let's go.
And
I love coming up with the ideas. I just don't want to do any work.
So, but I love this because I'm looking at these graphics. This is, I think, from 2018, the poignant performance of the year. And this is why the Feel and Film Facebook group was so fantastic. You would not get this at the Oscars. You know who won the poignant performance of the year for 2018? It was Andy Serkis for his role as Caesar in War for the Planet of the Apes.
That's right.
And I think that, again, as an extension of like what you like and don't apologize for it, we gave a spotlight to those movies that probably wouldn't have them in a formal setting like the Oscars. I will say this as a side note, and this is, again, it's all about who you're hanging out with. I, at the height of Feel and Film, I was all in on the Oscars. Like, I actually had a couple of Oscar, I think you came over for one. I think you were here for one of the Oscar, you were in town for the Oscars one year. I was having people over and it was just a lot of fun. I had little bags for people like first, second, and third for who, you know, who won the ballot. And that has since waned because, again, I'm not as involved in like what's new. But it gave a reason to experience something as a community. And that word community, I think, is probably what makes this so incredible, is that you mentioned building relationships with people. My friend Francisco Ruiz, who runs the Retro Rewind podcast, I can never say it without being a tongue twister. You and I have been on that show doing kind of a double feature with them. Like, we did X-Men with them on that show, and they came on Feel and Film and did X2 or vice versa. I've gone on the show and have defended Jurassic Park as being a 5-star movie, and it's just an ongoing joke. But it's because,
which is ridiculous, just, that anybody has to defend Jurassic Park being a 5-star movie.
Go listen.
Please don't take that as a reflection of our friends. They do have some good opinions and are worth listening to.
They have a lot of good opinions. Just we don't agree with a lot of them. But like Tron Legacy. Like, we did a double feature with them. We went on and did Tron with them, and they came on and did Tron Legacy with us. And it's just so cool because they have a completely different format. Theirs is more radio show. Like, they have their top two likes and their classic maker, and top two dislikes and their tragic maker. And it's not my vibe on a regular, but I enjoy going on occasionally, and I still do from time to time. And it's great to be able to talk with the Feel and Film brain in those conversations. It's different. It doesn't make it better or worse. Like, there's no ego involved, but it's really interesting because our conversations over the last 8 years have allowed me the ability to talk in a way that I feel like is intelligent. It's succinct, even with the ums and uhs. I feel like I'm a better communicator and a more effective person of, well, see, now I can't even say it. So ironically, I can't explain it, but I feel like I'm better at talking about this type of stuff as a result of being part of this podcast, because you help elevate that. Like, I love the fact that you and I have, even when we have differing opinions about something, it feels like it's a cohesive thing. Like, we can disagree on something and then leave the microphone and be like, man, I'm glad you enjoyed that. I didn't, but that's cool. And it's because we can do that that I think it echoes in the Feel and Film Facebook group. And it's because of the Feel and Film Facebook group that I've gotten to know Francisco and Jeremy and Don Shanahan, like this Chicago critic that I think I have a ton of great conversations with on movies. And here he is. He's a school teacher. Like, he's a film critic and school teacher. And I love that he was able to contribute for a while, a column to our show, What Did We Learn This Week? And it was, again, I felt like we were bringing people onto the show and into the working confines of Feel and Film to help elevate it. And I feel like he was a hit. I feel like he was a person who really was in line with what we were doing, and his writing was mature enough that I felt like it legitimized us as a podcast group, like not just the show, but the website and everything that went with it. And so I'm really, really grateful to be able to have those kinds of connections with Don and with Francisco, because they're friends equally as much as they are podcast community partners.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Don Shanahan does deserve a special shout out. He's been with us since the beginning. There's been controversial opinions he's had that some people just don't like his style and his vibe, and that's fine. But what cannot be questioned is his support of us, both behind the scenes, emotionally, mentally, professionally, but also, like you said, running his column for years on our website, like giving us all the credit. Everything was pushed to us. The what we've been watching, or whatever weekly thing he did. He did a whole thing just for us. Like, he just tried to help us because he believed in us and he loved it. And he has come on here and done so many podcast guest spots when I needed a hand or I wanted somebody to bang off of and go back and forth with a new release and you hadn't seen it yet. And I'm really grateful, as you are, for everything he has done for us as well. You know, there's interviews as well. I wanted to briefly touch on the interviews. Did you have any favorite interviews that we've done that you were a part of? Well, I mean, I know you do. So what are your favorite interviews that we've done that you've been a part of?
Well, Bob Gale, of course, Back to the Future, getting a chance to talk to him for a few minutes.
Back to the Future, the musical, is coming here next season. We just announced it at Paramount, the theater that you and I went to see.
Oh, okay.
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
Yeah. The production's coming here. And because my ex-wife sent me the list and she was like, yeah, Hamilton's coming back. And I was like, Back to the Future. Who cares about Hamilton? I've seen it. Back to the Future's coming. I got it.
Suck it, Manuel.
I have to go.
Yes, so. You do. And if I can get over there, I'm going to come with you. Like,
let me find out when it is.
I got a playbill from our friend Adam when he went to go see it. And
in New York?
Yeah.
Probably on Broadway.
It's just, yeah. Whatever.
Adam, come
just
on.
Just move to Connecticut. Oh, yeah, you already did. Never mind. So Bob Gale, obviously, Matthew Modine, our first big one together that I still kind of like flub over. I can't believe we actually got him. And even his producer, Adam Rakoff, the whole story about getting those two and what that kind of spawned. We can get into that in a little bit. But I think those two were probably the biggest like eye-popping ones, because I didn't realize that we could get those guys. And, you know, again, props back to you for being the film critic and reaching out to the right people and saying, yeah, we want to do this. You had more flexibility in your schedule and you're like, hey, can you be home at like 10:30 a.m. your time to do this thing? Because at the time I wasn't working from home, and I was like, yes, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to take some PTO and I've got an appointment, you know, in quote air quotes, I'm going to do this. Those two specifically. There were others, but I think those are the top two for me.
The ones we did together that stuck out to me, obviously Matthew Modine. I will never, ever, ever forget that being our first any semblance of a celebrity that we were connected to, in a way. And Matthew himself responding to me going, hey, did you really just leave all these in there? I sound like crap. Like, why didn't you fix it? And I to this day, I remember feeling devastated and so embarrassed. It stuck with me. Like, it changed my level of seriousness when it came to editing from that point forward, because I was like, whoa, this guy, he was actually upset that I didn't make him sound better. And, you know, to which I completely agree with him now. And I understand that that is the job of someone who is doing the interview, something that he's been used to his entire massive, wonderful, awesome career. Like, he expects that. It's like an unwritten thing. And so I always took great care from that point forward to put forth any guest in the absolute best light possible. I believe you went back and actually cleaned that episode up for us as well.
I'm actually in the process of doing it. So it's on my desktop. I cleaned up.
Okay. I knew you were.
I cleaned up Adams. And, okay, and what I'd like what to was. Do, just even in the post Feeling Film world, I do want to actually go back, clean it up, and then reload that episode without that stuff. Because you're right. And the history that I have with Adam now, it has as a friend, it's allowed me to go back and say, yeah, that's a miss on my part, or on our part. And I want to rectify that as much as we can. Like, we obviously can't go back and have that same interview, but that's something that I do want to, maybe by the end of this calendar year, is just to spend time knowing what I know about editing and knowing how to clean stuff up now and how to make it better. I definitely want to rectify that, because I don't think anybody's going to listen to it, maybe three people, but for his sake, because he's the interviewee and he deserves that kind of respect. That's something I want to fix.
Good. I'm on board with that. A couple other ones that we did together that were real highlights for me: Console Wars, with Blake J. Harris and Jonah Tulis. This is a book about the history of video. Well, it's a documentary series based on a book about the history of video games that you and I had both read. We loved it. We loved the adaptation. We got to talk to the writer of the book and the creator of the series. So that was cool. The Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. We talked to them about the movie The Endless and their previous films up to that point as well. This was pre everybody knowing who Justin Benson and Moorhead were. And that's what's cool about it to me, is Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead have gone on to helm things for Marvel that are big. So now everyone knows who they are. But this is when they were just indie sci-fi directors making stuff that really connects with you and I in a way that we love. And they had a super long conversation with us and were so open with us as, like, very young indie podcasters in a way that big names won't necessarily be able to do. So that was a really cool conversation for us. And Sergeant Stubby, an American Hero. And this is so dumb. I don't even know who's listened to this. A guy named Jordan Beck is the one who runs this whole fan club that still exists for this animated movie about a real life dog, probably a Boston Terrier, which was this happened before I got my two Boston Terriers. I wasn't yet like an obsessive Boston Terrier person. But Stubby is this World War II hero. I think it was World War II. Maybe not. Maybe it was World War I. But he was a World War hero dog. And it's an incredible animated movie that's historical, but in a way that is accessible for kids. And Jordan just is a huge champion of this. And I've gone on to remain friends with Jordan. Like, we're on social media. We talk about wrestling every week now. I mean, it's great. And so that's a really cool relationship that was formed just from this random thing that you and I were like, yeah, let's have an interview and help give somebody a small amount of publicity. I've had some really cool ones just on myself. You know, I was able to briefly interview Mads Mikkelsen. That was a standout, asking him about filming a movie in the Arctic. And he told me about how he got food frozen into his beard. Like, will always be memorable to me. I was able to interview Alex Honnold, the man who Free Solo is based on. That was like a huge highlight for me. Getting to talk to Matthew Heineman, who is an award-winning documentary filmmaker, about his movie A Private War, was huge. I just have a lot of respect for the kind of films that he makes. I got to interview Lee Child and Alan Richson about Reacher. I got to host an online moderated panel about Reacher for, like, I don't know, 20, 30 people in the Seattle area who got to see it early because they were veterans. It was really cool. Those kind of experiences have stuck with me. George McKay, I got to interview about a movie called Wolf. Not the movie that most people are going to associate with George McKay. It's about him playing a werewolf. But I got to show him a video of my dog barking at him on the screen, where he's like on all fours pretending to be a dog. And he loved it. He thought it was the cutest thing ever. So those are some memories that will always stick with me. And I will always cherish from our interview experiences.
You know, I think when I look back at those interviews, the big thing was always like, what are we going to ask these guys? And I love...
It was nerve-wracking.
It was.
And you didn't want to get it wrong.
You didn't want to get it wrong, but you also didn't want to ask the same old crap that everybody else was asking them. Because, again, it's a saturated market with podcasting, movies specifically. So why, you know, what's going to make your interview different? And I thought what we did, just like the connecting point for the show, I loved that we always asked, when possible, what is one movie that you emotionally resonate with? And everybody seemed to, and we would send them the questions so they have a chance to think about it. So we'd be like, oh, wow, I didn't know about this. But they would all have such an interesting answer because it was always something that I would write down and ultimately never get to watch because I just don't have the time. But again, for me personally, it allowed me to see into the world of an individual and go, oh, that's interesting. I've never heard of that movie. What I should have done in hindsight was written down the movie and who actually said it was theirs, because then I could go, okay, that goes back to that interview. But we can, I can always go back and listen. And so I thought that that was something very unique that we did as a show, where we, again, tied even interviews back into our brand. Like, this is why we're interviewing you. This is partly the reason why. The whole Full Metal Jacket diary and all the stuff that came with that. It was really neat to hear both Adam and Matthew talk about the things that they resonated with. Sometimes it was a show. I think I want to say Benson and Moorhead talked about The Leftovers. They said that it's a phenomenal TV series. I know you've seen, I don't know if you've seen all of it yet, but you were watching it. And, you know, we weren't going to be like, no, it has to be a movie. But it was great to see that, again, storytelling as a whole, whether it's in movies or television shows, it's going to connect with somebody. And it'll change, obviously. Like, I'm sure if we got the chance to ask them again, like, hey, has that changed? They'll probably say, yeah, in the last 5 years, I've seen this, and this is what's great. So they're de facto recommendations that allow us to be able to expand a little bit more and just kind of see why. But at the very least, it just it makes even the interviews a little bit more specific to our show.
Yeah, you're so right. That is such an awesome element of them that we had that I've noticed a lot more people doing these days. I didn't notice it a lot when we first started it. So I'll just say everybody copied us. That's great. I mean, good for them. You know, feeling film trendsetters out here. One more thing I want us to go over before we end. I think it would be, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least just kind of go through a few of these. What were some of your favorite either memories of episodes or guests? Whatever you think of the most when you look back at this whole 8 years period, which ones were the biggest highlights for you, or what were some of the biggest highlights for you?
I think first up, and these are not in any ranked order, because I know if you listen to our bonus content, you'll know that we try to rank and then we're like, it's not going to be ranked. We're just going to be like our favorites, you know, because it's hard to just rank things that we love. I'll start out by saying the 300th episode that we did, the 0.1, 0.2, 0.3. And also I love the fact that we did 300 for our actual 300th episode. I thought that was great.
That was very cool.
But bringing Adam Rakoff on, because it's his favorite trilogy, to have someone talk in detail about that trilogy itself, I was so glad to be able to. I think I edited all those because I wanted to make sure that they got kind of the pristine, because we were doing them ahead of time because it was just a lot. And I know that you were doing a lot anyway, so I was like, I'll take those on. But it was great to have him on and just have somebody as passionate about the trilogy talk through that and give us all the history, because it's just, I mean, he's a subject matter expert when it comes to that. And it wasn't that specifically, but it was because of that initial interview with him, and then actually reaching out to him a couple of years later about this idea for an original series that got him back on the show by saying, hey, this would be something fun to do. And he and I had been going through and doing this project, an original series, which you can go check it out, an original series on your, you know, if you're podcast networks or whatever. But he and I started that, and it was because of the fact that he was on earlier episodes talking about The Karate Kid. But I loved that conversation because he fit right into our brand. Like, he understood it, and it was such a fun thing just to be able to dialogue between three. And that's tough, man. That is absolutely tough to have more than two people talking, because it lengthens a podcast episode and people are like, oh, I'm really tired of talking. How do we do this? And I know when we always had a guest on, that was the thing. We're like, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to lead, and we're going to start with the guest, and then we'll start with you, and then we'll go back to me, and we'll keep doing that so we can keep the rhythm going, which was fine. But that was a lot of fun. I think the Jaws episode goes down as one of my favorites because I think it was the first time that we both felt like that is how we want to do a podcast. Like the connecting point was straight up good. I think you actually inserted some,
it was the first time we'd put audio of the,
yes,
we put Quint's speech.
Yes.
Into it. Yeah.
I think it was the first time that we both had a 5-star movie, and that's when we created the trophy room. But I know that anytime after that, when people would say, where should I start? I'm like, start with Jaws. That's because even in AOS, you have early flubs and you're getting the audio and you're trying to figure out your rhythm. That felt like, yes, that's where you want to start because that gets us. And then the other one that stands out to me, and I know there's tons, but the other one that will always stand out to me is our Passengers episode that we will both go to our graves defending as a 5-star movie. Even though right. I know that there are better ways, right. courtesy of Nerdwriter, to actually tell that story that is actually more interesting.
Right.
But it's the moment, it is the moment in the episode where I come up with this kind of theory, this idea, because of something I saw in a trailer or a line that was in the trailer was in the movie. And you're like, wait, hold on. And you had this like real time moment of like, you mean it might be this? And it was like, if you could hear an exploding brain on the air, that's what was happening. And I was like, yes, this is fantastic. And it will always stand out to me as one of the great moments in our podcasting history, because it was raw, it was fun, and it hit the emotional notes. You're like, that is why we love this movie. That is why we go into, because it's this. And not going to spoil anything for you. Go back and listen. Watch the movie, obviously, but then go back and listen to the episode because it's great. It's like, and I remember at one point you were actually covering it for another podcast you were guesting on, and you listened back to our episode for note-taking purposes, and you're like, here it comes. Here it comes.
Yeah. Yep.
So those, I think, are the big ones for me.
Speaking of Don Shanahan, I actually went on their podcast, he and Will, their podcast called Cinephile Hissy Fit Podcast. And I went on and defended to the death this episode. I got attacked on two sides, but you know what? I held my own. But I agree. Those moments were really special anytime they would happen, because it's hard. And people who don't do this and just listen to podcasts don't necessarily understand that when you are doing it every single week and you're creating your notes and you're trying to, you're not faking things. You're not trying to force the conversation to happen a certain way. There are just so many things in your head. You've got a clock ticking in your brain. Like so many of our episodes are like within 5 minutes of each other, like 45 to 50 minutes or 50 to 55 minutes or whatever. And it's not because we've tried to hit a clock. We're not even looking at a clock. It's just because we would have such a flow to the way that the conversation would go. But you come in with this idea of the things you want to say. And a lot of times you almost, it's all subconscious. It's not planned, but you find yourself almost, you almost are resistant to that discovery conversation and that interaction that's very spur of the moment, because it's harder to edit. It's less refined sounding. And so, yeah, when those things would happen out of the blue, like that'd be really cool. I look back, and as I was writing these down, I saw a theme emerge. The Fast and the Furious series, you came up and you saw me, you visited here. We rewatched the whole series up until whatever it was at that point.
8 was the last one.
Yeah, years ago.
At the time.
And then we went home and we podcasted and we did the whole series up to current time. And that was just a blast. It was so much just for us. It was really an early thing where we were like, we don't care who listens to this at all. Because Fast and the Furious wasn't nearly the bigger phenomenon that it has become for many, many years. We were on it early and always. And so that series has always been special, like a connection between us. So that was awesome. the legal thrillers. I'm glad we got to do those. The John Grisham novels adaptations, and then adding in like A Few Good Men, the Shinkai, the Nolan, the Cameron months, all these like big hitters, movies that you and I both love now, Shinkai, that you fell in love with as well. And I was like, yo, there's the theme, man. I really loved these thematic series and months that we did. Those were a highlight for me. I also wrote down Jaws. I wrote down Batman v Superman because of it being the first. Top Gun times two was huge for me personally. The first Top Gun was one of our very first ever guests, and it was a huge one for me because what got me into podcasting was listening to Film Spotting, Josh Larson and Adam Kempinar. And Josh Larson came on our show having never seen Top Gun before. He watched it for our show, which was sad, but he did it and he liked it. And it was a cool conversation. And then Top Gun Maverick, I know you loved it too, but you were so like accommodating to me. And I literally, this podcast, guys, if you haven't listened to it, you should if you're interested in the movie. But we went practically scene by scene. It was an over 2 hour podcast. We don't do that. Very rare, because just not our thing. We just don't like to go that long. But we just went. And you were fine. And I wanted to touch on every single thing. I wanted to recite every single quote. I was so into this. I love this movie so much. And we got to do this gush fest for 2 hours. And that will always be special to me. Getting to cover The Last Mohicans was another huge one for me because it's in my top 10 of all time. It's probably my most obscure top 10 of all time pick. And then another one that really stood out, very similar to kind of the Jaws experience, but for me personally, was Black Hawk Down. It's one of the few times that I've straight up cried on the podcast as I was reading a citation for a Purple Heart on air and like talking about the impact of this movie and its real life story was just a really powerful episode for me. Yeah. So, those are some of them. I mean, obviously there's more.
There's 400 if you want to check them out.
400 plus. Yeah, that's not even counting. And the 400 number doesn't count any of the FF pluses. It doesn't count, you know, any of obviously my whole solo side of like stuff is completely in addition to that. Mm-hmm. But from just us, there's all the FF pluses from Patreon. Right. And then there's also like 20 or so mini-sodes that we had while. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a ton of stuff out
there. There is. And I think that, I mean, we can, again, keep in with the theme of, you know, keeping it positive. But I want to say there is one moment that I remember had a positive spin on it. So we got 10 Cloverfield Lane. And it was so I want to call two moments out. So maybe we'll go back to moments. And I remember you being really disappointed with the podcast because it didn't go the way you wanted to flow it. Like I screwed some things up. I was like this, blah, blah, blah. And you were like, yeah, I want to cover all this because as you mentioned, we'll write a bunch of stuff down and there's the pressure to talk about all this stuff because we feel like we have to get all of our ideas out there. And then you sent the tweet out and then Dan Trachtenberg like either retweeted or replied saying, thanks guys. And you're like, I'm good now. Dan liked it. So we're good. And I was like, okay, well, that was short lived. Cool. We're good there. And, and I think because you wanted to elevate the podcast to a place that was professional, that was more like that. And there was some pressure here because I did not want that, but I wasn't as invested as you were. And so I always wanted to make sure that, you know, my dog was quiet and that the room was good, just to make sure that you had because you were doing the editing, it was one of those things where, what can I do? And that's why I was so glad to be able to provide the visual side of that, to be able to put things together. And I love the creative process. I love being able to help you come up with ideas for tangential shows, like The Games We Love or, Mics for One or whatever it was. I mean, the experiments that you did where, I don't know what it was called. There were so many of them. But they were short lived.
Oh, thanks.
That was okay. That was okay though, because I think you wanted to do so many things. Thanks and for what? You know, we had our own battles about like, I don't want to screw up the brand. Like, stop attaching stuff to it because it just needs to be this and start your own thing and I'll celebrate that. But let's not jack this up. And we did those. We had those ups and downs. But I love the fact that we didn't ever hate each other. We never kind of got at odds about things. We really like, I understand this. This is kind of what I feel. I never felt like you were ever talking down to me. I never felt like you were running over me. Like, this is what's going to happen. You always put me in a position to say, what do you think? And is this something that you're okay with? And I love that we could be open about that because we both cared about the brand. We both cared about the fact that this was a show and this was an identity that we were both attached to in different ways. So it made me proud to be a part of that because you weren't just going, well, Maverick on me or Rogue to just do things, which made me happy to do some of that existential or extra stuff that you were really exploring about your board games podcast or things of that nature. So I think that there's something good about even some of the ugliness that comes from that, that we can find some positivity in something like 10 Cloverfield Lane that we both love, but the conversation wasn't great. We would have those nights, but they were always overshadowed by other conversations that we remember, you know, like the Jaws episode or having great interviews about Stark and Stubby. I loved having Andrew B. Dice on the show. I thought that was like a big win for us when he came on for BVS because he was an advocate for that movie as well. But he would come back for other DC movies and he would provide such another great voice to the show. And I was always always grateful to have him on. And I miss not having him on. In fact, I got a chance to several years ago have him on for one of our bonus episodes where we talked about the validity of the Hallmark Countdown to Christmas. So if you want to check that out, it was a great conversation. And
he also came on and defended the heck out of Waterworld during an episode.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, he's a highlight.
He is. He's definitely a highlight. I can't remember what my other thought was. Maybe it'll come to me, but yeah, I think that's, knowing how the sausage gets made. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard job. I think anytime you do something voluntarily, I'm learning this as a board member of the soccer club, it can be a full-time job if you want it to be go well. And I'm grateful for those that listen and those that supported. But it's always a gentle reminder that I want to give people that it does take work. And it's something that 2.5 hours on the microphone talking about Top Gun Maverick was not work for me. But I lost sleep because of it. And I paid for it the next day, but it was worth it because I know that it was a conversation that that we needed to have. And I'm glad that it's not the norm because that would just, wow, that would be a lot for me to talk 2.5 hours.
There are so many podcasts I've done and started, so many projects. You're so right. Like I could forgot about all of them. The other thing with Don was connecting with the classics.
Oh, yeah.
That was a huge series that he and I did for a long time. I can't remember if you jumped in on any of those. There was a couple of things called casual conversations where I had some cool episodes with folks, guests. I think by request.
Yeah, that was your first attempt to do stuff.
I know the icon. The icon is a face. It's a face emoji that's talking, like it's yelling.
Yeah.
The icon's awesome, but like the graphic. I just don't remember. I've done so many daggum side projects, but that was another thing I really appreciated. I appreciate you, buddy. You always supported me. Always. Like you, not blindly, you would make me think critically about things, but you would never say, oh, Aaron, you don't need to do that. Why do you need to do that? Right. You would ask me the why behind or the how and to think about things, and you would offer suggestions, but you would, knowing full well that some of my stuff was going to flame out, you would support it. And that was, that was really cool. And I think you only get that when you have a relationship like we do. You don't just two random people who get on the mics to create a podcast because they want to be podcasters.
Right.
Is very different than two people who are already close friends.
Yeah.
Doing a thing.
And I'll tell you, when I started an original series, I didn't tell you about it. Like it was something that Christmas of maybe 2022, maybe it was when I was thinking about Christmas Eve, I'd asked Adam, hey, would you want to do this thing with me? Because what I didn't want to do, It was twofold. One, I didn't want to ask you to do something else because you had 8 of your 7 nights already booked with podcast stuff. And I didn't want to add to that necessarily, but I also wanted to try something different. I always wanted to, I kind of wanted to say, okay, what would this look like? And could I commit to it? And so I asked him and he was cool with it. He's since popped off the show, hopefully to return as one of the kind of rotating guests that the podcast has become. But I remember being very hesitant to talk to you about it because for years, as you said, you would say, well, I'm going to do this. What do you think? I'm going to do this. What do you think? And I almost felt like, should I ask him? Because I took a break. And so I've sort of set that tone of like, well, you're taking a break and you want to scale back feeling film, but you want to do this thing now? Like, that's what I felt in my heart. Like, I felt like I was being a little hypocritical. But then there was a moment when I think we were talking about, I don't know what it was we were talking about, but I was like, I think this is the time to let him listen. I was like, hey, check out this. What do you think about this? And I remember you sent me a text like, what is this? And I said, this is an idea that I've been working with for the last several months. And you were just jacked about it. You're like, this is great. Like, this is good stuff. And again, I don't think I've come up with anything original, even though it's called an original series. There are podcasts out there that cover multiple series and they probably do it a lot better than me. But this was an opportunity for me to capture something that I'd lost in terms of community. You know, what we had with Battlestar Galactica, what spawned Feel and Film, I wanted to recapture that in a way that allowed me to flex a little bit of my editing muscles to be able to say, okay, could I bring in some dialogue here? Could I set something up? Could I provide a little bit of humor and bravado when I go through this? And through this, I've been able to have multiple conversations with you, with Adam, with Francisco, Meredith Loftus, who came on to talk about our love for John Carney. We actually have an episode that may or may not ever air. It's our basically scene by scene breakdown, the Top Gun Maverick of scenes, you know, for Sing Street that we already covered, but I wanted to talk about it again. So she's come on and we're talking about a show right now that'll get released later in the year. But I wanted to try this project and I wanted to do it in a way that didn't necessarily connect with Feel and Film, that didn't have to necessarily bring you in as a co-partner because I wanted to be separate, but I didn't want you to be in the dark. I didn't want to just release and be like, hey, check this out. And so you gave me some great feedback and I love the fact that you've been on the show. I love the fact that you'll continue to be on the show from time to time. And I like the fact that you told me you enjoy it because one, you don't have to gin up notes or do anything. You just come on the show and talk.
Oh, it's the best. It is the best. I just show up.
Yeah.
Talk. And then I get to go away.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
that's great.
And depending on the length of the actual show episode that we're covering, I mean, it could be a 45-minute conversation, could be a little over an hour, but we enjoy it. And it's got elements of Feel and Film that live in it. I'll tell you one of my favorite moments to go back real quick. This is the other one I forgot about. Up to a certain point, you had been doing all the notes. And I know that you were, I don't know if you'd hinted at or you blatantly said, I need you to start doing this. But we started.
I probably made passive aggressive comments, knowing me.
Maybe so.
Probably is what I did.
But I remember the very first thing I did notes for. And ironically, it was not a movie. It was our recap of the first of four seasons of 13 Reasons Why. Like, it was a heavy, heavy episode.
Oh, that's right.
And it was a lot of feels, right? It was a lot of like, whew, I don't know if I want to watch that again, because if I do, it might lose the impact. And of course, it has like three other seasons attached to it. But that was the beginning of me taking a little bit more collective ownership of the actual show itself. And I always, there was always a little bit of like euphoria, a little bit of like a shot in the arm of encouragement whenever I'd hear you, I'd say, hey, notes are in. And I'd hear you go, notes are great. Like, oh, cool. Because, I mean, there were times when I was like, I don't know what to talk about. I like this movie, but what do we talk about? Yeah. And I think that those were hints of like, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to feel like our conversation needs to be amazing. Like, can we just talk? Which is why I've loved covering the last four or five episodes that we've done, because they've been easy. They've been softballs of let's just like, hey, this is fun. Let's talk about this. And it hasn't been, it's a brand new release. So what do we have to say differently about the new Ghostbusters movie that the 15,000 other podcasts are already saying, you know? So I've really appreciated that. I've never felt like I haven't brought something like that to the table that's been on par with what you have, even if it's a little different. So it's good stuff, man. It really, really is.
My last question before we wrap this thing up is, what are your white whales? What is a movie that you wish we would have gotten to? Or maybe even if you're completely and 100% honestly content, what is something that, had we gone on and, say, decided maybe we weren't this close to 400 and we were going to do five more episodes, what would you have really, really wanted to be in that last five?
The only one that comes to mind for me, coincidentally, is one that I've actually talked about several times on multiple podcasts, and that is Rocky. Like, one of my favorite franchises.
We haven't done Rocky?
We've not done Rocky.
The original?
We didn't do the original Rocky. We've not done it.
Did we do Rocky IV?
No. We did Rocky IV, and then Rocky versus Drago, the director cut, you know, that one.
Right.
It's a combo.
We never did Rocky. Somebody did Rocky. I wonder if I did Rocky with connecting with the classics with Don.
Maybe.
I think I did.
Hold on. Well, now you got
me. You've done Rocky on other podcasts.
There have been, and I'll confess, there have been movies that I've looked at our list. And I'm like, did we cover that? I don't remember.
I have too. I've been like, I really want to talk about this movie, and then it was there in the list.
Let me look it up, as I say. But I will say that one, Stranger Than Fiction, was one that was kind of a quirky one that's always been one of my top, you know, top five, or top 10. But no, we have not done Rocky. We've done Creed. We've done Rocky IV, Rocky versus Drago. But no, the original Rocky. I've done it on Cinescope. I've done it on Manly Movies. I may have done it for Retro Rewind, but I don't think I have, because I would have like defended that to my death. No tragic makers in that one at all. But yeah, I think Rocky, the original Rocky. And I'll say this as a joke, La La Land. The one that we never got to do on the show, but we have done together as part of Popcorn Theology. So those two right there.
That's true. We did it together, and I did it with a buddy, that the guy Blaine, who I used to do the board game / movie podcast, which I did not even remember when you brought that up. That was wild. That was a blast from the past. We had this podcast where we would like review a movie and a board game and tie them together, like thematically. So that was like your perfect evening of entertainment. It was actually a really cool idea, honestly, to be frank. But anyway, so we never did that. That was on my list. I can't believe we've done. I could have sworn to you that I've talked to Rocky. So I don't know. I must have done it on a guest podcast or something. Maybe. I don't know. It's nowhere. I can find it nowhere. Not connecting with classics, nothing. So
I would have been on that episode of Connecting with the Classics had you guys covered.
I would have been surprised. Yeah, it was such a highlight for you. I couldn't imagine doing it without you. Yeah. So that's crazy.
So Rocky and La La Land tangentially, even though we did cover it, but I would love to have had that been like our, like that one thing. Because there was an episode.
I do wish that was.
Yeah, because you'd seen it like 50 times in the theater, and it was still in theater.
You were gone that December.
What's that?
You were on a mission trip that December.
I was.
You were out of the country.
But I remember, I don't know what episode it was on. I'd have to maybe go back and do some sleuthing. But there was a point when we did the connecting point, we also did what we've been doing or what we've been up to. And I didn't tell you that I'd gone to see it that weekend. I was going to wait.
That's right.
And I remember you coming back. I think you had gone to do something. You come back and like, and so for the second thing, I was going to tell you about, yeah, me and my wife, we had a great date night. We went to go see this movie, La La Land. And you're like, what? You didn't tell me that? Because you got so frustrated. Because you're like, why didn't you tell me that? And I remember just your face was like, yes, I'm so glad you finally did it. And then we never actually officially covered it for the show. So those would be my two white whales.
That's great. Mine would be more heist movies. This was next up for us. If we kept going, we would have hit these. There's a whole list of them that we had pared down to four or five, but I could have made it like 10 that I absolutely love all of them. And I know that you would love all of them. And it would have been a blast to talk about all of them. So that was one for me. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is randomly one that I adore this movie. I'm pretty sure you do too.
Yeah.
And I just think would be a great classic us movie to talk about from our childhood type era. The Before trilogy is one that I would have loved to get a chance to talk with you about on a podcast, because it is up in my top 10 as a group of movies, very impactful for me emotionally, but also kind of always got pushed off because it is so distinctly emotionally impacting to me. And so I was a little bit nervous about what was going to happen if I started trying to break down and talk about it, much like trying to go through Marriage Story was for me.
Yeah,
it was really, really hard. Star Wars 1 through 6, it's weird that we never talked about Star Wars 1 through 6. Like, all we've done is the new trilogy and Solo, and like, we didn't do any of the actual first six. It's just crazy to me that we never went back and did these.
But I think it's that.
But it happens.
I think it's the same kind of logic of why we didn't cover MCU stuff, because it's just a lot. And that's a month and a half.
We didn't go back.
We didn't go back. But we never felt like, I think both of us have always felt like completionists. Like, we talked a little bit about moving forward. Before we started talking about sunsetting the show, we talked about filling in the gaps. So we had covered, I think we hadn't done any of the Hunger Games, so we're going to do those, especially with the new movie that had just come out recently. But a lot of the movies that we covered as a result of their sequels coming out. So we covered Creed because Creed 2 was coming out, and we finished that with Creed 3. We covered The Force Awakens because The Last Jedi was coming out. And so we were kind of pushed into those because, like, hey, this is coming up, let's kind of get a running start into it. But we never consciously made that effort because I think it was just a lot. And I think both of us would agree that we didn't want to become completionists because some of those movies just weren't good. They weren't going to be fun conversations. They would have just been, oh, we've got the whole saga of the main 9 episodes of Star Wars in there. But if 2 and 3 weren't going to be great conversations, or 1, then what's the point? You know, we just want to cover the ones we're going to cover, which is why we didn't cover Indiana Jones 4 as part of our trilogy of episode 200. You know, just first 3, because nothing else exists after that.
It doesn't exist.
Exactly.
My last one would be Lord of the Rings. And I save this for the very last because, I mean, I have created a whole Lord of the Rings podcast that doesn't exist yet, but like the background for it, all the work is done, the graphics, the name, like I've got email addresses and stuff reserved. I've had it for years and I've talked about it for years on and off because it is my favorite like IP of all. But we never did it. And there were multiple reasons. One of which is because fantasy is not your favorite thing, and you would have done it and it would have been great, but it wouldn't have been like two of me doing it. That was part of it. The other part was, and I think more so, every time it would come up, you would offer it. And I was nervous. This is my favorite movies of all time. And I was actually nervous to talk about them because I did not know that I could accurately do them justice in a way that I would personally feel fulfilled and satisfied with. I felt like, I mean, it was like, we're going to have to do half of each movie for 2 hours. Like I was nervous about it. And like, it got to the point where I was just like, I would rather just let that be mine. I did talk about Return of the King on a Patreon, I believe, episode of Next Best Picture podcast for Matt Neglia, another good friend I've made in this community, which was awesome. It was great to get to talk about that one. And I was one of like 6 or 7 people. So I just had some opinions. I didn't have to cover every single bullet point on my own or with just one other person. And so it's kind of a weird one for me where part of me I wish we could have done it, but also part of me is like, it's kind of neat that in the very end, I still get to have that as my own special kind of thing that never got forced into a conversation about. So, but it is weird that it's, you know, that we never talked about my favorite movies of all time after almost 800 total episodes on this podcast, which is very weird.
It is weird. But in the grand scheme of things, Aaron, it's so small. Like 800 plus episodes is a lot for two people to do, but it's still small. Like when people talk to me about the Feeling Film podcast, they're like, hey, have you covered this? I'm like, no, why not? Because there's a billion movies out there and you're one of the reasons why we haven't, because you like this movie and I've never heard of it. And that's awesome. And I think that that's what makes Feeling Film so great, is that We're not an all-encompassing podcast that's going to cover all of your favorite movies. But there will be crossover. And I think what makes a podcast great, especially a movie one, is that somebody's going to come in here in 5 years. 5 years, we're going to be 5 years older. We're going to be in completely different places. We're going to be doing whatever. And somebody's going to pop in and they're going to queue up Midnight Special. And they're going to be like, I love that. Let me look for a podcast that covered Midnight Special. And they're going to see episode 2 on Feelin' Film. And they're going to listen to our conversation and love it or hate it. And if they love it, they're going to be like, what else have they covered? I'm like, oh my gosh, they've covered this, 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 and this. I love this one. Flight of the Navigator, are you kidding me? And they're going to hear about guest spots on other podcasts, and that's going to connect them to other places. And I feel like our niche in the world has allowed other people to connect with each other, to connect with us, independent of us connecting with other podcasters. I mean, we really are the connecting point of a lot of the movie world, and I am so grateful that we can have that role and that our episodes will live on as part of people's enjoyment of film from an emotional standpoint.
Yeah, me too. I'm very proud of us and what this has become and what it will, like you said, be out there forever for people to discover and enjoy and share as they please. And that's all I got. I mean, I don't want to belabor it. It's weird, like, doing it for the last time, knowing, I mean, it's very strange. I think it feels probably a lot like someone who's, you know, had a career in the NBA or a sport, and it's your last game, and you're 90% of the game, you're just playing like it's your game, right? And then you get to those, like, final 5 minutes, and every shot could be your last shot.
Right.
Every foul could take you off the court forever. It's just crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, so we're there.
Yeah, I guess it's time for the claps like they do in soccer and the heart, you know, the heart hand, that kind of thing.
I like,
you know,
that. All that
stuff. Yeah, this has been great. And all that are listening to this who have listened for 8+ years, or if you're just tuning in wondering what the heck is this most recent episode happening, thank you. I think we've said it so many times early on, and maybe if we haven't said it enough in our last several episodes, we are so incredibly grateful. For every person that listens, we know that this has always been primarily for two guys to talk about the movies that they enjoy in a way that connects emotionally. But we're grateful that in some way it has connected with each one of you. And we hope that our love of movies allows you to connect and just expand your love of movies. So keep watching, keep listening, go back and listen to other podcasts. And just enjoy it, because Feelin' Film, that's what we wanted, is for you to enjoy the movies that you enjoy. No apologies, and keep Feelin' Film.